Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we have a beautiful bhajan again from the yesteryears, adoring our Lord, dear Swami, as Lord Krishna. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Yedunandana Yashoda Bala.
So like in every episode of this program, let's get started with getting familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat, and then I will share with you certain instances of how we can relate to this bhajan. So here are the lyrics.
Yadu Nandana Yashoda Bala Madhava Keshava. Yadu Nandana Yashoda Bala Madhura Natha Mama Sai Natha Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham.
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala. Yadunandana Yashoda Bala. Yadunandana Yashoda Bala. Yadunandana Yashoda Bala. Madhava Keshava. Madhava Keshava. Madhava Keshava. Madhava Keshava. Yadunandana Yashoda Bala. Yadunandana Yashoda Bala. Madhura Natha Mama Sai Natha. 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 Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana. Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana. Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana. Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana. Yadunandana Yashoda Bala.
So that's the lovely bhajan on Lord Krishna. Again, a tune from the yesteryears. Perhaps a bhajan which many have not heard. And we're really grateful to Bhagwan that these bhajans are coming back now into our consciousness. So let us learn a little more about the make of the bhajan. Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts on the raga. So Anirudh, what are your ideas on the composition of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This beautiful bhajan is based on rag. I can say mix of ragas like Dvijavanti and also having some traces of Pilu, and also we can say a mix of little bit of Kapi in the Carnatic classical music. So I can say it's a blend of these three ragas, or the composition is so sweet and it's a very beautiful tune. The very first line sounds more like a Dvijavanti or Jayjayavanti in the Hindustani classical music. We have very rarely bhajans in these ragas. One of them is
Kshiradishayana Narayana Nisadaniri.
So that's a phrase which resembles the Dvijavanti raga. So the very start of this bhajan is also that phrase.
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala, Yadunandana Yashoda Bala Nisadaniri.
So that's the swara for that pattern. And as you go along, it changes to
Madhava Keshava.
So both gas are coming.
Ga ma ga.
So this is more of Pilu approach.
Antaranga sai anathanath sai.
The second line.
Dina bandhu sai karuna sindhu sai. Madhava Keshava.
So both are similar in that. And the last line resembles little bit of kapi touch.
Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana.
So that swaras, if you see that
Rema Pani Paga, Rema Pani Paga, Re Saga.
So when the re came and it more, the kapi approach is more evident in that line. And we have many bhajans having this similar tune.
Maya Manusha Veshadari Satya Sai Mukunda Murari Radhe Govinda Krishna Murari Nanda Kishora Narayana Navanita Chora Narayana Navanita Chora Narayana.
So all these bhajans are having the similar traces of kapi in them. So it's a mix of kapi, pilu and Dvijavanti.
Beautiful. You know, we have songs which are raga manjiris.
Yeah.
We have a bhajan which literally every line is in a different raga.
Yeah, but all these are connected so beautifully that you don't know that transition.
You don't feel that, there is a, you're moving from one raga to another raga in the next line.
So that's why the composer has chosen the similar ragas.
Mm.
And just by the way it is moving from one raga to another is very smooth.
Mm.
Actually, if it reminds you of moving to one more raga, I think it's more musical.
Yes.
If it doesn't remind you that the raga is changing, then it is, you know,
it
you're
is
not
woven,
distracted.
Not through technicalities, but it's woven through something else. Yes. Beautiful.
In fact, I'm reminded of a beautiful song in Kapi, when the lyric of the first line is Yashoda Bala.
Mm.
This is a very famous composition of Purandaradasa. And we have been hearing this song in many of the drama presentations, and it's a very beautiful Kannada song, Jagadodharana.
Yes.
Jagadodharana Adisidale Shode Jagadodharana.
Beautiful feelings, you know, these songs evoke, even if you don't understand their meaning, you know, just the way they are composed, the way they are rendered, they really evoke such sublime feelings in you. And in their own ways, these bhajans do it, even though they are not so technically rich,
yes.
Even though they are so simple, but the bhajans equally evoke that kind of sublime feelings in you, isn't it?
Yes, especially the when you take the first line, Yadunandana Yashoda Bala, and when it is composed in such a way,
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala,
the challenge is that the tune has to be so justifying to the lyric that
yes.
You actually feel that the tenderness, the soft,
yes.
And
yes.
The small Krishna,
yes.
Like Yashoda Bala.
Yes.
So that the tender aspect is shown in the tune in this. So that the way it is composed is very important. So I think any other raga also, when we choose to compose a bhajan, it's very important to keep in mind that it really reflects the
every word, the kind of emotion,
yes,
that every word evokes.
Yes.
The raga should facilitate that process.
Exactly.
Yes. So yes, let's go a little more deeper into the bhajan.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, since it's a blend of three ragas, so I think it's important to know the notes of each raga. So let's go through the bhajan, the first line.
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala Nisada Niri Gari Gari Sa
Nisada Niri Gari Gari Sa
Madhava Keshava Sada Saga Maga Maga
Sada Saga Maga Maga Risa
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala Nisada Niri Gari Gari Sa
Nisada Niri Sagagama papa, papa dama pamaga.
Mandara giridhari Madhusudana. Gaga gaga maga mare mapani pagarisa.
Gaga gaga maga mare mapani
So let's move on to the beat.
The beat of this bhajan is 8-beat, Aditaram or Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yadunandana, Yashoda Bala,
Madhava, Keshava.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Aniruddh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Bishu. Sairam.
Sairam. So we are done with the tune, the beat, and let's spend some time now ruminating on this bhajan. What this bhajan is telling us, how we can use this bhajan to convert our bhajan session into a blissful session. So the first line, Yadunandana Yashoda Bala.
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala.
In simple terms, it means, O darling son of Yashoda, the scion of the Yadu dynasty. Let's move to the second line, Madhava Keshava.
Madhava Keshava.
Madhava, Ma means Maya, Ma means master. He's the master of nature. Madhava is the master of nature. The one who vanquished Kesi. Kesi is a demon. Another meaning of Keshava is the one who has lovely locks of dark curly hair. Krishna had, Bhagwan has. Kesha means hair. So Keshava is one with beautiful hair. We come back to the first line, Yadunandana Yashoda Bala.
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala.
We move on to the fourth line, Mathura Natha Mama Sai Natha.
Mathura Natha Mama Sai Natha.
Mathura Natha, Natha means Lord. O Lord of Mathura, Mama Sai Natha, you are verily my Lord Sai. You are the same Krishna who is now there as Sai Krishna. And the last line, Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana.
Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana.
O Lord, you are the one who held aloft the Mandara mountain, the one who destroys our ego. Madhusudana is one who destroys our ego. Mandara is the mountain on which the Samudra Manthan happened, you know, when the tussle happened between the demons and the devas, and the Lord, in the form of a tortoise, held aloft the Mandara mountain, which was used as a churning rod as the ocean was churned. So he is the one who keeps aloft this earth. He is the one who lifts the burden of earth that is there on our shoulders, who lifts our burdens. That is what is meant by Mandara Giridhari Madhusudana. Giridhari is the one who lifts the mountain. He is the one who lifts the mountains of sorrows that we deal with on a daily basis. So this is the meaning of the bhajan when you look at it superficially, when you look at it briefly. But let me spend some more time and share with you some more beautiful stories and connections between Krishna and Sai, because this bhajan is all about that. Mathura Natha Mama Sai Natha, the same Lord of Mathura is my Lord Sai. After Peddavenkamaraju and Mother Ishwarama were blessed with a son and two daughters, Seshmaraju, Venkamma and Parvatamma, Mother Ishwaramma suffered 4 miscarriages and the family attributed this to evil planetary influences and consequently performed rituals to pacify, so-called pacify the planets. And longing for another son, Mother Ishwaramma, we know, prayed to the village gods and conducted the propitious Satyanarayana worship. She kept a number of vows requiring vigil and fasting. And it was about time for Venkavaduta's prophecies to be fulfilled. Venkavaduta was the great ancestor who was a realized master of Bhagwan's clan. And as per the prophecies of Venkavaduta, Bhagwan was born, Satya Sai was born as the eighth child of Mother Ishwaramma. And not a day passed without something astounding and miraculous happening after this beautiful baby's birth. Once as the newborn lay on a bed of piled clothes, we know how the family noticed that he was being raised and lowered by something below him. Everyone was stunned, and more importantly, they were deeply anxious. And when they investigated, they found that a cobra lay there coiled among the clothes. Though it is among the most venomous reptiles on earth, the cobra bore no ill will towards the infant. It was in fact so serene, it was absolutely submissive, and it was so graceful. Similarly, the non-vegetarian meal that was prepared for the relatives and friends in the Raju household during Bhagwan's childhood one day turned into vegetarian food. Everyone was surprised. How did this happen automatically? And Venkamma, the eldest daughter of Mother Ishwaramma, years later would recount how she had observed Satya disappear in a haze of light from his mother's lap and then suddenly reappear. Lord Krishna, as Bhagwan has revealed, was a Purnavatar. He was the supreme consciousness manifested in human form and endowed with all cosmic powers. And it was the same when Krishna reappeared as Sai Krishna. Professor Kasturi, Baba's biographer, once defined Swami as the descent of all power, all wisdom, all love, all grace and all glory. And interestingly, like Krishna, Swami too was the eighth child. Devaki and Vasudeva were devastated souls, having seen the demon Kamsa murder all their previous seven children right before their eyes. Ishwaramma and Pedda Venkamma Raju too were deeply scarred souls, having lost four of their children one after another successively, even before they were born. Both pairs of parents had endured utmost anguish, and they were at the lowest ebb of their strength and tenacity. However, despite their despair, both were at the zenith of their prayer and surrender to the Lord. When the baby was born, Devaki and Vasudeva were wonderstruck with what was happening around them. The prison doors opened automatically, the chains fell off from their bodies instantly, the guards went into deep slumber suddenly. And as Vasudeva stepped out of the jail to shift the infant to Vrindavan to safeguard the newborn from the lashing rain and thunder, from under the waters emerged a mysterious wide hooded snake and covered the baby like a canopy. The situation in Pedda Venkamma Raju's house was equally enigmatic, isn't it? Just as the divine serpent arrived on the scene moments after Krishna's birth to provide comfort and care, a similar replay occurred during the incarnation of Bhagwan when Adi Shesha could not wait to have the darshan of the new avatar of his Lord. Also, coinciding with the birth of the avatar, everything that was inauspicious turned into auspicious. Food that had pieces of meat magically changed into food that was sattvic. Actually, even before Bhagwan's birth, musical instruments in the house started playing on their own, as if to herald a divine occurrence. The atmosphere resounded in a spirit of celebration, with the heavens rejoicing as they did during Krishna's birth. Then it was through rain and showers, and now it was through music and divine sounds. In fact, Kundamaraju, the grandfather of Bhagwan, would indeed hear the child talking to him from the womb. And both the babies were charming beyond description. When they arrived, they did not cry as normal babies do. They smiled. And witnessing their cherubic smiles, people lost sense of time and space. The little mole on Bhagwan's left cheek only added to the luster of the Satya Sai splendor. Dr. N. Jayalakshmi, a long-time devotee of Bhagwan, once took a picture of Krishna to Mother Ishwaramma that was drawn by a famous artist. And in the portrait, little Krishna was squatting beside a pot and eating butter in a blissful state. And the moment Mother Ishwaramma's eyes fell on the image, she said, "Yes, Satya's face too shone like this, like the moon. He had the same black curly hair, the Keshava. His muscles were strong and well-formed. His brows, however, were slightly different from Krishna's. They met in the center." And then Mother Ishwaramma, pointing at the jewels that little Krishna was adorned with in that painting, she heaved a sigh and she said, "What to do? We were poor. We could not decorate him so beautifully with so many gems and gold like this child wears." The signs and wonders associated with every incarnation of the Lord are as obvious as daylight. If only we take these clues, then we will not miss the chance of a lifetime to seize this opportunity and seek our salvation. Recalling his childhood days, Bhagwan also remembers Subbamma on so many occasions, the wife of the village Karnam. She had a special affection for Bhagwan. She was elderly, she was childless, and the Karnam was of the Brahmin caste. And as Karnam, he was the hereditary village accountant in charge of the land records and the collection of land tax on behalf of the government. That was the husband of Subbamma. And the Rajus and the Karnam lived two houses away from each other. And when Satya was an infant, Subbamma would pick Bhagwan up and hug him to her bosom. And as the Karnam family only ate vegetarian food, Subbamma would call Satya to her kitchen and feed Bhagwan lovingly, much to the dislike of those who did not like a Kshatriya boy, because Bhagwan was a Kshatriya and there are people who are very caste conscious then. They felt, how can a Kshatriya boy be fed in a Brahmin household? But all the women would say, "No, he's a Brahmin child. Look at him. Look at the enthusiasm with which he eats Brahmin food. Look at the enthusiasm with which he goes to Subbamma. He's like a Brahmin child." And baby Krishna in the Dwapara Yuga would slip into the houses of Gopikas and dip into their pots of butter. And this is something which always left Mother Yashoda clueless. She would wonder, why does this mischievous one break into the homes of the cowherd ladies and gobble up their butter, as if there's no butter in my house? And the Gopikas would then come and complain to Mother Yashoda. But their real intention was not to protest, but actually use that incident as a pretext to come and catch Krishna, because they just wanted to be with Krishna. They wanted to spend more moments with Krishna. They wanted to play with Krishna. In fact, if Krishna didn't steal butter from their houses, they would feel more miserable, utterly miserable and lost. And Swami has explained how little Krishna wasn't as much drawn to the physical butter. He was drawn to the butter-like hearts of the cowherd devotees. Their hearts were so overflowing with pure love for the Lord that Krishna longed to be with them. He needed some ploy to play with them. That was the connection between the Gopikas, between Yashoda and Krishna, between Swami and Subbamma. In fact, many years later in a discourse, Swami says, "Subbamma's devotion to me is unparalleled. Though she was not physically related to this body, emotionally she was closely attached to me. She used to think of me day in and day out. She attended to me right from the beginning. She was even prepared to vacate her house for my sake." Many relatives argued with her and they said, "Being a Brahmin, how are you allowing a Kshatriya to stay in your house?" And unsparingly she replied, "I don't go to anybody's house. None of you need to come to my house. I don't want any of my relatives. I don't want any of you. It is enough if Satya is with me." That was her devotion. Even in those days when there was so much opposition, that is how much she loved Swami. She was ready to forsake anything just to have Swami and look after Swami. Swami used to narrate how she used to go search for Swami. Swami would have gone into some hill. Swami would have gone into some water, he would be there with somebody in the Chitravati river and she would take breakfast and should go on searching for Swami and feed Swami wherever he is and take varieties of breakfast. Depending on whatever Swami likes, she would feed Swami. That was the connection, the love, the beautiful relationship between Subbamma and Swami. And when we sing this bhajan, Yashoda Bala, these are the moments that come to our mind, because Yashoda to Krishna and Subbamma to Swami are divine parallels across yugas. Divinity surrenders to purity. That is why Swami relished the savories that Subbamma made for him, even as he savored her love for him. Yadunandana, Yashoda Bala, Madhava, Keshava, you know, we are talking about the one who is the master of nature. I'm reminded of this beautiful incident. An alumnus of Bhagwan's university, Brother Sai Krishna Jasta, once he was narrating about his birth. What had happened was his mother was blessed with a son, but due to some medical condition, that son passed away just a few months after he was born. It was a terrible infection that the boy contracted. And the parents were so distraught, they were praying to Bhagwan for strength. Mother was completely devastated. They were from Shimla. In those days, people in groups used to come for Bhagwan's darshan. So mother came with the Shimla group. And fortunately, Swami called them for an interview. And the mother poured out in front of Swami, "Swami, how could you do this? How could you take away my child? Why did this happen to me?" You know, she was absolutely unconsolable. And Swami, in the interview, could not even say anything. And when the mother was just ceaselessly crying and crying, after a while, Swami looked at her mother and Swami said, "Okay, main tumhe ek son deta. I will give you a son, okay?" And the parents' sorrow reduced a bit, but the mother was still crying, not able to still get over that sorrow that she's lost her son, just a few months old. And looking at the mother who was still crying as the interview was over and Swami got up and everyone was leaving, as they were going out of the door, Swami again turned to the mother and Swami said, "Don't cry. Main tumko wahi son fir se deta. I'm giving you the same son. I'm giving you the same soul. Now stop crying." He is the master of nature. He is Madhava. Everything is in his hands. What is time? What is birth? What is death? In fact, Swami came in the dream 4 months before the child was born, and Swami told the mother to name the child as Sai Krishna. Swami said, "Iska naam Sai Krishna rakho." Keep the name as Sai Krishna. And the mother shared this with her husband, but this boy's father at that point in time said, "You don't know these dreams. We don't know whether we can really go by these dreams." So they came to Prashanti after the child was born, and they were very lucky to get another interview with Bhagwan. And when the mother said, "Swami, please give a name to this child, give a name to my son," and Swami casually said, "Rakha na, Sai Krishna. Have I not kept already? I told you, Sai Krishna." That is what Sai Krishna is. We are praying to such a Lord here in this bhajan. When we sing Madhava, Keshava, let us know that we are praying to the Lord who has the whole world in his hands. And as we sing Mathura Natha, Mama Sai Natha, let us pour our heart out and say, "Lord, you are the same one. You are the same mischievous Krishna. You are the one who comes yuga after yuga. You are the one who is there in me. You are the one who is the emancipator." And in the last line, we say Madhusudana Mandara Giridhari. Madhusudana Mandara Giridhari is the one who lifts us. Just like he lifted this mother, lifted this family out of the sorrow. In fact, this boy, who later became a student in Bhagwan's university and used to sing very beautifully, was blessed with a very beautiful voice by Bhagwan. He sang all the years when he was a student in Bhagwan's university. Lord is the one who can lift us from the downs of depression into the heights of supreme ecstasy. That is what the Lord can do. Giridhari, he will lift us. Mountains of sorrow, he can just lift with his little finger. And Madhusudana, he is called because, you know, he destroys destroys our ego. Madhu is honey. And Swami says, what is more sweeter to every person than his own ego, than his own body consciousness? Swami says, he's the one who destroys that, and that's why he's Madhusudana. In fact, a very beautiful incident of Professor Kasturi comes to mind. In 1959, Swami suddenly sent for Professor Kasturi, and Swami said, ask him to come to my room immediately to the mandir. And so when Professor Kasturi went to Bhagwan, Swami said, the editor of a daily newspaper, which is published from Hyderabad, has asked for your photograph. He wants to announce you that you are the editor of the Sanatana Sarathi, and with along with a nice write-up, he wants a nice picture. So I have promised that editor that I will be giving him a good photograph of yours. So you please go and prepare yourself. You know, you come back ready. And I've got this brand new camera I've selected specially for this purpose. I'm going to take this picture and we'll send it to this editor. And the joy of Professor Kasturi knew no bounds. He rose to the eighth heaven. He rushed down the 18 steps from Bhagwan's room, came back, you know, got a quick facelift. He changed his clothes. He shaved and he starched. And within minutes, you know, he was in Bhagwan's presence with a broad smile on his face. And now Swami said, okay, you're looking good. And Swami adjusted his shirt and his shoulders and he positioned him at the appropriate distance. And then Swami peered through the lens and Swami said, yes, you're looking very good. You have a photogenic face. Swami congratulated him on how he was looking, and he was so happy. Professor Kasturi was thinking that 30,000 readers of this Hyderabad newspaper are going to finally know who is the editor of Sanatana Sarathi. He could not imagine the adulation that he was finally going to get, and he was smiling. And Swami said, are you ready? And so he immediately gulped that smile and he said, yes, I'm ready, Swami. And Swami said, ready, steady, and Swami clicked. And immediately Kasturi said, jumped, because there is a huge hairy black blotch, as he says, with a flashing tail bounced on his neck, which emerged from the camera when Swami said, go. And Professor Kasturi was terrified. What is it that fell on him? Was it a rat? Was it something dead reptile? Was it a lizard? What was it? And it was, as he said, it was a horrid hirsute. It was a cotton mouse. And Swami had cunningly tucked this cotton mouse inside the dummy camera. And when he released it, it jumped and fell on Professor Kasturi. And Swami had a hearty laugh. And that laugh of Bhagwan, that play of Bhagwan, punctured Professor Kasturi sir's ego enough to know what is important in his life. And Swami then said, is it really so important for the world to know that you are the editor? Is that the kind of news that the world is waiting to hear? Today's newspaper becomes tomorrow's waste paper. Is that fame that are you looking for? Lasting fame is earned through dedicated service to the Lord, dedicated service to the godly. And Swami said, what greater status can you attain than being the medium for packaging and posting my message to thousands of devotees every month? This is what you are doing. Why are you getting carried away by fame? Why are you getting carried away by all this superficial adulation? Why are you getting carried away by ostentation and praise? As Professor Kasturi says, Swami is too bright a sun for human eyes. We can only bask and bathe in that sunlight, but we cannot gaze at him. Swami himself should diminish the splendor and become a beautiful red disc, as it happens twice a day, so that we can imbibe the golden grandeur that Swami is. And Swami gives us those glimpses every now and then. Every now and then he demolishes our sense of doership. Every now and then he teaches us that you are not the one who is in charge. There is someone else in charge. Surrender like Arjuna. Say, Lord, I am nothing. You are everything. If I am able to do anything, it is because of you. If I am able to speak, it is because of you. If I am able to breathe, it is because of you. Until we reach there, the Lord as Madhusudana will continue to chisel us, will continue to correct us. That is what is conveyed in this beautiful bhajan. If we just ruminate on every word of this bhajan, you know, this bhajan will fill us with bliss. It will fill us. It will become a purifying experience. This bhajan can elevate us, just like Krishna elevated that mountain. This bhajan will elevate us to heights of bliss, heights of purity, heights of sublimity. Let us use this opportunity to experience that bliss as we sing this bhajan. Let's now listen to this bhajan once again and sing along with the students in Prashanti Nilayam.
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala,
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala,
Yadunandana Yashoda Bala,
to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, dear listeners, please feel free to share your thoughts. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.